Because if we don't start from the beginning, I'm going to be confused, and then everyone else is going to be. Hopefully everyone else will be confused, or hopefully everyone would not be confused, even if I was confused. But it's probably best for me not to be confused, because we're going to contrast a little bit between how do we view the nature of Arev, and how do we view the nature of Kiddushin Midin Arev. Okay, what we're going to do at some point is we're going to see the potential to split between them. On the face of things, right, it actually makes a lot of sense to say, look, however you think Arev works, right? Arev doesn't get anything, and yet he's Chayiv. So, you know, Kiddushin Midin Arev somehow is going to work in the same way. So however you see Arev as having more involvement, the more you're going to, in the Halva, the more you're going to say, oh, well, maybe, you know, it's just direct Kiddushin, even though she doesn't physically get to her. The more you think Arev is sort of detached from the Halva, right, the more you might want to say, oh, it's Kiddushin, but sort of from a different angle, right? Not really directly, but sort of indirectly. Okay, that's sort of the default way to view it. And what we're going to see is that it's not necessarily true. Okay, and part of the question is also, is Kiddushin Midin Arev actually Midin Arev? Or is it really dependent on the rule of Arev, or are we simply using Arev to illustrate a certain point? Okay, how much is Kiddushin Midin Arev actually an application of the concept of Arev? Okay, so with that in mind, I will do a very quick chazara. Toso said that Arev is actually as if he got the money, right? It's a triangle trade. You guys learned this like back in American history, right? I'm talking about, the triangle trade, right? Exactly, right? To Bermuda, molasses and slaves and stuff. Right, exactly. So, according to Tosvos, it's a triangle. You know, well, it's really not a triangle. It's really just a straight up 1, 2, 3 transaction where the Malveh gives money to the Arev and the Arev gives it to the Loveh. Aye, but we never see the Loveh taking it, the Arev taking it from the Malveh and giving it to the Loveh. All right. So the answer is yeah. In a Hanami, he never physically takes it. Right, but. Right, just like by Kiddushin, it's Chashuv Ki'ilu Kibla Mimenu. So Tosa says, oh, Kiddushin Midin Arev and the Din of Arev are the same thing, right? Arev essentially got the stuff from the Malveh and gave it to the Loveh. In which case, the Arev actually got the money, he actually got the Halva, the lender lent it to the Arev, and then the Arev relent it to the Loveh, right? And therefore, the Arev is actually the real borrower. And who got the money, right? The person who got the money by Kiddushe Nimidin Arev is the Isha. In which case, this is not surprising at all that it works for Kiddushin, because she literally got the money. But she didn't get the money. So yeah, she didn't physically get the money. But in Halacha, we have lots of cases where you didn't physically get the money, but yet you're still, you know, still got it, right? Just like Shlichus. So for Tosvos, essentially the Arev really got it, and therefore he's chayiv in the Halva, and therefore by Kiddushin, she really got the money. She handed it off to somebody else afterwards, right? But who cares? Right? So Tosvos sees this really as one chiddush. Arev is almost like a shliach who's the Loveh is the shliach of the Arev to get it from the Malveh and then give it back to himself. And therefore, the Arev really got it. Okay? In terms of Kiddushin, it doesn't tell us so much about the nature of Kiddushin because he really got it, right? So there's no chiddush here that it works as Kiddushin. It's just like shlichus works by Kiddushin, right? Same sort of concept where you didn't physically get it, but legally you did. Okay. The Ritva says, well, that doesn't work. Right, because he didn't actually get it. So what happens? So he says, an Arev, he didn't actually get the Hana. He didn't actually have anything to do with the Halva. But really, there are three separate things going on here. Right? There's a Halva from the Malveh to the Loveh. The Arev is issuing an insurance policy to the Malveh. And the Malveh is paying the Arev in social Hana currency. Which, importantly, he points out, always converts into kasef. So there's actual kesef going from the malveh to the arev. Right? The arev is issuing an insurance policy to the malveh, right, for which he is being paid a premium. And the malveh, the lender, is just loaning the loveh totally independently. Okay? So for the richer, there are really two totally separate things going on, the loan and the insurance policy. Okay, in which case, right, you could really do is say two things. One is that, okay, really, the arev is sort of detached from the situation here. But possibly, say, look, in terms of the halva, the actual money that you're giving is not connected to the arev. But there's the separate interaction, which is connected to the arev, right? Because there are two interactions. One's connected to the arev, one's not. The connection that the interaction that is connected to the arev is, in fact, potentially, right, with the insurance policy one, just to keep it clear which one we're talking about, is actually related to between the two of them. And in the case of Kiddushin, so even though the money that he gave to Bob is not going to be shaykh to her at all, separately, there's a sort of insurance policy situation going on, which is a direct interaction between them, right? Where she's actually getting something. She's being paid in social currency. Right? So the money, meaning the actual loan money, or in the case of Kiddushin, the money that he gives to Bob because she told him to, that's not going to her. According to Tosos, that went to her. So he gives money to Bob. It really went through her. So that money that he gave to Bob is shaykh to her. The Ritter says that's not true. The money he gave to Bob, he gave to Bob, independent of her, essentially. Right? But separately, because he did it, because she told him to, so, right, he just gave her social currency, right, hana, which converts into kasef. So the kiddushin would then be with this separate interaction, which in an arev creates the insurance policy, and here would be the hana that she's getting, which is going to be the kiddushin. Okay. The Rambam says there's no interaction between them at all. Ever. Totally. Right? An Arev is simply being Mechayiv himself, right? It's a totally independent, direct personal obligation based on his Chayivus. You create a personal Chayivus to someone else. And that independently creates a monetary obligation without any connection to the other party. In which case, according to the Rambam, say that there's any real interaction of Arev that allows us to create Kiddushin here, right, would be very difficult. Because I'm saying there is no interaction. The Arev is just creating an independent Hizchayivos. Okay? Okay. So, how does Kiddushin mean in Arev work? Right? So Tosos we already talked about. Rabbeinu Hananel seems to just emphasize the idea of it actually having gone through her hands more than Tosfos. Kiva de'ika ha'gavna arev chayav l'shalim kiman de'kabil hu biyadav dami. It's as if he actually accepted it in his hands. Ha'chanami arina dibura tein l'ploni kabbalah. It's there's a kabbalah. It's as if it was given into his hands. It's as if she accepted it. Okay. Now, what really struck me about Rabbeinu Hananel is that the idea of emphasizing that she really got it in her hands, right? As if he got it in his hands, she got it in her hands. The dibur is a kabbalah; it's an acceptance. Kind of emphasizes the idea of the kabbalah and the nesina more than just saying, "Oh, there's a real transfer," right? Because it doesn't seem like it seems like he's going a little bit further than Tosfos. Tosfos says, "Oh, it's as if it went, as if the money transferred through her." It doesn't sound like he wired the money through her. It sounds like he actually gave it to her, right? She got it. She accepted it. And also his emphasis, he doesn't say, it's as if she picked it up and she was kone. Right? He says, dibura tein l'ploni kabbalahi. Just like by an arev, it's as if it went into his hand, by kiddushin midin arev, the amira, right, is a kabbalah. It's an acceptance, which emphasizes the acceptance and the nesina over, right, the kinyan or the hana. Yeah, Tehillah. You had a question?
Yeah. I don't, if this is too much of a setback, you can just ignore because I've been out of it the last few shiurim. But what's the significance between it being in his hands and reception on her end? Is there like a one sentence answer to that?
Yeah. So I would just here he's talking about the a regular case of Arev with, you know, with a loan. And here he's talking about Kiddushin. So in the case of Arev, he's saying, oh, in the case of an Arev, it's as if the guarantor actually was given it into his hands. And therefore, in a case of Kiddushin midin Arev, her dibur of Tein Laploni is Kabbalah. The shift from the Kabbalah biyadayim to being a Kabbalah bidibur kind of de-emphasizes the sort of financial shlichus model that you vibe that you get from Tosvos, where Tosvos is saying, oh, it's, he never actually picked it up, but it really went through him, right? It's like you wired something through another bank. So it's sort of, you know, the funds transferred through them, but they never actually touched it. They never had anything to do with it, right? But at the end of the day, they transferred the funds, so they actually got the funds and moved it. So here, Rabbeinu Chananel is saying, no, it's as if he actually picked it up and had some sort of right personal interaction with it. And therefore, he doesn't say, oh, and the same sort of financial rules apply, the same sort of financial ownership happened or shlichos happened. He says, and therefore, just like here, it's as if he picked it up by an arev, by a loan, by kiddushin, it's as if she received it, right? Or if she accepted it. It's not even like received it. It's not like, oh, financially she got it, or oh, it's as if like he was her shliach to get it. It's as she accepted the kiddushin. It's almost like we're focusing in on her, on that sort of interaction of nesina and kabbalah, as opposed to the legalities of did it transfer through her? Did she, was she ever koneh? Right. So for Tosvos, it sounds like oh, it's as if he got the loan, right? Chashav ki'ilu kibla mimenu the loan, and therefore, right, the financial obligation is on him because as if the loan was actually given to him and then he transferred it further. The Rabbeinu Chananel shifts between those two. Tosfos says they're the same, right? Kiddushin, sorry, here, arev by a loan. Chashav kilu mekabel mil va'atmo, mikudesh has mizun arev, chashav kilu kibla mimenu. Right? It's as if it went through her hands and then she passed it on. Right? While for Rabbeinu Chananel, he shifts between them. And I think the reason is because we're learning out from the case of a halva, where it's as if he picked it up with his hands and gave it to him, and therefore it's as if he was koneh in between, to the case of Kiddushin, where we're not saying that she was koneh in between. We're saying that she accepted it. It's almost like we care about her, like that interaction of he offered Kiddushin and she accepted the Kiddushin. Right? And the actual transfer of the money is sort of a hechi timtzi for creating that interaction. Right? Why is the, again, this brings us back to our beginning sugya of Kiddushin. Why is it that Kiddushin creates ishas? Right? Is it a kinyan? Is it because, oh, it's this formal legal maisa? Is it sort of a general formal way of creating binding obligations between parties? Or, right, is it there, you know, symbolically to give legal meaning to this sort of proposal? He's proposing marriage, right, and she is accepting it. So he needs to do that in a way which is, right, has some sort of legal trappings, and it's like going before a judge and saying, okay, we're signing a marriage contract, right? But it's about him, you know, proposing marriage and her accepting that proposal. In which case, her dibur tein laploni is like a kabbalah. You're right. Legal, was she ever actually kona it independently? Not necessarily, right? But it seems like Rabbeinu Chananel might say that might still be fine. Because if it's about the mice in the scene, it's about that interaction between them having gone on, right? They had this interaction, so then, you know, it's it makes a lot of sense that the actual kinyan might not really be the part that's most important. And therefore, in theory, maybe you could bypass a formal kinyan as long as there's nesina. Again, it's very hard to have nesina without a kinyan. Okay, but let's say we did the opposite. Let's say we had kinyan without nesina. How could I have a kinyan without nesina?
Have you considered like the insurance policy, some kind of kinyon between the reeve and the
Maybe that's getting a little too. That's right, because Rinohanao doesn't really see the insurance policy as existing because he doesn't agree with the Ritva. Go further back. A bunch of things further back that that could fit the bill.
Saying like Chalipin or Matanal Menat Lachzir or something along those lines?
Yes. Fantastic. Right? Matanal Menat Lachzir. That's how I wanted to interpret Rashi. Halva, right? I think Rabbeinu Hananel on Harvach Hazman of a Halva, he says, even if you say Bahahi Hana of the Harvach Hazman, you need to take back the money and give it to her. I'm not really sure what he does with the Gemara on Samach Gimel, right, about Rekod Lefanei, but he basically says, oh, you got to take it back and give it because you need an Ensina, right? And then going back to Chalipin, I think is really great because what's the problem with Chalipin? Isha bepachos mishava pruta lo makanya nafsha, right? Oh, what's the problem? She just accepted it, right? He offered her chalipin. I don't know. It's $1 million Oscar statue, whatever, right? He offers it to her. Vitaras chalipin, and knizos ve you know v'tiskad shili, and she takes it. Vitaras chalipin, and they're not married. She accepted it. Right, she was like, you know, swept off her feet, so she's totally, you know, we say, oh, but isha b'pachos mishava pruta lo makanya nafsha. What's that mean? So one of the approaches to that was to say, at the end of the day, it's not just that we need a kinyan, right? What we need. So one option was that emotionally we needed the right response, right? Which is kind of what we saw. I think it was in the Rajba, right? That it's fine that she accepted it. Right, so Bitaras Kinyan, right? They might be doing the Maisa Kinyan, but at the end of the day, it's Gnaihula, and she doesn't, right? She needs to feel Chashuvalo, you know, Mechubedeslo, and if she doesn't feel that, it doesn't matter that they did the Maisa Kinyan. So the same idea here for Rabbeinu Hananel, the Maisa Kinyan is a way of creating the Nesina and the Kabbalah, right? The Nesinas, right? The Maisa of Nesinas Kiddushin. Trying to remember what was Rashi's Lashon on Vav Amud Bet by Halva? Right? What was it? It was Rashi Kiddushin. Please. Again. The Kicha Miste Ephron Gamrinan, the Yahiv Midi Bishas Kiddushin. Right? Yahiv Lamidi Bishas Kiddushin. You need to give her something, Bishas Kiddushin. It's not good enough, right, to simply transfer the money, transfer something. What you need to do is give her something. It's the Maisa Nesina, which is key. So Rabbeinu Hananel is saying, so here you have a Maisa Nesina. And maybe. Right, you don't actually have a kinyan mamon. She doesn't actually have kinyan mamoni on the object ever. She was never kone the kiddushin, but she was given the kiddushin. Right? Chalipin could just totally be the exact opposite. He's makna her the kiddushin, but there's no maisa nesina. Right, there's no actual giving her. Right, so I think that's exactly why. Even though he's saying it's biyadav by milveh, he's trying to say he'll hear. The Tain of the Ploni is a Kabbalah, because what really matters is Kabbalah. If you gave it into her hand, but there was no Kabbalah, and there was no Nesina, let's say Chalipin, so Ishim Pachos B'Shav Pruta Lom Kanyan Afsha, even if it's more than Shav Pruta, because Chalipin, it doesn't work. It's Kinyan, but it's not gonna create Nesina. Okay, the Ritva, right, take breaks from this, and he says, no. Right, he says it's this totally separate interaction of the halva of the insurance policy. The actual arev interaction is totally irrelevant here. It's the insurance policy which matters. And mihu kol mikudeshas damrinan b'shmeitzin haynu kishamar hu shamar la harei mikudeshas li beosahana shenatati leploni mana b'diburech. It only works if he specifically says. Then I'm being Mekadesh you with the Hana that I gave to Pliny, mana b'diburech. It only works if he specifically says, I'm being mekadesh you, not with the with the money I gave to Bob, but with the hana that you're getting out of the insurance policy, right? That I did what you asked me to. The social coinage that we're converting into kesef is the only reason why we have kiddushin. And he has to say that explicitly. He can't say, oh, I'm mekudeshes b'mana shenatati l'ploni. Because if he says you're mekudeshes with the money I gave to Bob, that's not going to work because that money has nothing to do with her. Right? The only thing that has to, because originally there were three sort of separate interactions. He can't say that, oh, I'm mekadesh with the halva that I gave someone else. Not kesha. What he could be mekadesh is with the insurance policy, which is an interaction between the two of them. And we're converting the hana into money. Okay? So he's also thinks it's connected to Arev, Din Arev, but it's not to the actual money that he gives to Bob part of Arev. It's the other parts of the insurance policy part of Arev. Okay? And it's a regular Kiddushin Midin Kesef, right? So it's hana, but it's hana Midin Kesef, and he's giving her money. We don't see it, right? But that's exactly what he's doing. So for Rabbeinu Hananel, he's emphasizing that, oh, there's a Nisina and a Kabbalah. The Ritva is emphasizing that, oh, the whole Arev, that's relevant. The insurance policy Hana is a Nisina's Kesef, and he's giving her monetary value. Okay? Now the Rambam says, you know, just a step even further, of course Arev is irrelevant, because we saw that Arev is just a personal Hischaivos. There's no good connection between her, right, and Bob and the money that Bob got, right? In the case of Milvesh, she's mechayev herself. Stam, okay. What does that have to do? You can't just say, "Oh, ani mechuyeves liskadish lach lecha." Right? It's not good. Hare ani mechuyeves liskadish lecha be, you know, behahu hana that you gave money to someone else. Right? It's irrelevant. What do you mean? You can't just be mechayiv yourself to be mekadesh, so why would that create kiddushin? So the Rambam has to say, and he does say it, which is always nice, ha'isha sh'amra tein dinar l'ploni u'atana v'eskadesh anilach v'nasan v'amra l'hareyat mekudeshesli b'hana'as matana zu shenatati alpi harezu mekudeshes afo bi shelo hegiya l'klum harei nehneis birtsona shenase v'nehne ploni biglala. Right? She is nanes with the fact that he did what she asked, and therefore she gets a fish back out of it, right? Okay? If he says it's with the hana that I, right, did what you wanted me to, so that hana can work. But that's specifically a din in the hana, right? It's totally external. It's not even bechalal kashur to Arev. Arev is just an example of the fact that, you know, we can look at someone doing something nice, something because of you, as something that you're inclined to treat with certain chashivas, and either you'll create a chayvas, or in this case, you're going to get hana, and we can mekadesh with that hana. But it's totally external to the Arev. Because Din Arev is just about personal schaivos. Can't be miskadish with personal schaivos. And it's also Gishmak, because all these shitos are the shitasam. Rabbeinu Hananel is saying that it's a din in Nisina, right? About the mice in Nisina, just like he said by Milveh. Ritva is saying that it's a din in Kiddushe Kinyan Kesef, right? Just like he said by Milveh. And the Rambam is saying that it's a din in Hana. Kinyan isn't the issue. What you need is Hana, and Nisina's Hana. And here, you have to specifically say that you mean the Kadesh, not with the Arev din, and not with the monetary element of Arev, but with the Hana that she gets out of it. Right? Because according to Rambam, what matters is giving Hana. Okay. And that's Mamish exactly as we expected. Okay. Now, just moving on to some other... Shita. Oh, 1 second. Sorry. Alex Kasha. Okay. Why isn't the Hana... Isn't this like really low level hana? Interesting. I'm like, what about, you know, why don't we just say like, oh, Tavla Mesav? That's a good question. Yeah, I agree with what you're saying then. I think the fact that in case of an Arev, right, he's going to commit to paying up this loan simply because you did it just because he asked you to, as like as a favor, so that shows that there's real hana here. And I think the concept of like just the concept of tamavetav wouldn't help you because he's not giving her anything. He needs to give her something. He needs to give her hana. He doesn't need to give her money, according to the Rambam, really. He really needs to give her hana, but he actually has to give her the hana. There has to be that nesinas hana. So if it's just like, oh, tavla metav, that's not, he's not giving her anything. He's not giving her the tavla metav, right? She's an anase, but that's not from him. But if he actually gives her hana, then you can, as long as it's shavapruta, right? Rakod lefanai. Aseli kedimos hazeh, you know? I don't know, make me laugh. So you, in theory, you could really be mekadesh with that, as long as he's giving her hana. Right? A, it needs to be structured that way. Right? He needs to be mekadesh, right? Mekudesh, but also hana that I'm giving you. And it really needs to be a transfer of hana. I think what we're saying here is that, oh, you see, like Arev, that, you know, that counts. Now, Rashi is very, very vague here, like super duper extra vague. Like not very helpful, vague. Ekadosh nilach ukishenat nulo amarle hiskadshili mikudeshes afo gav delo mati hana liyada. Yerash says, oh, but why? He didn't arev, even though there's no hana. Mimasha matzino b'torah shah arev mishtabed lemilve anu yecholim lomot. From the fact that the arev is mishtabed to the milve, we can learn that this works for kiddushin. Right now. I don't know. That's a very strange formulation. I'm not sure if I can really give you like a, oh, of course, Rashi means X, right? Mimashe matzinu b'Torah, sheha'arev mishtabed lemilveh, onu yecholim lilmod, that this should work for kiddushin. Like, because it's a parallel? He doesn't sound like he's saying that it's working directly through Din Arev. Right? Tosa says, oh, Din Arev means what? That an Arev actually got it. Right? So the fact that we learn from Din Arev, that Arev is almost like a shliach. Right? That the Love is really the shliach of the Arev to accept the halva, basically. Okay? That's not what Rashi's saying, because Rashi's saying, right, you see that the Arev is mishtabed. And from the fact that he's mishtabi, we could learn that there's kiddushin, even though there's no hana. It doesn't seem to backtrack on the no hana either. So he knocked out Tosos here, right? And he also knocked out the Rambam and the Ritva, because he's emphasizing that thing, hey, she's not getting hana. There is no hana. Right? At least that's the way it sounds like. Now, again, Rashi's explaining the Gemara, and maybe he just isn't trying to explain at all how it works. He's just trying to tell you how to read the Gemara. And the Gemara is saying, oh, we learned this out. The thing is that if he was just doing that, he could have just said, oh, kadosh ani lach, blah, 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 right? Midin arev, right? Kemosha matzino b'torah, sha arev, right? You know, sha arev nischayev l'malve. Right? Anu yecholim l'mod is just like a weird addition. Like, it's almost like, you know, it just gives me like the scratching the other ear feel, right? Of like, from the fact that we see in the Torah that the arev to the malve, we can learn out that like Arev here also sort of works. Like, what's that mean? It's very strange. I'm very open to suggestions. If you knocked out Tosos and you add the Rambam and the Ritva, right, the first option we have left is Rabbeinu Hananel, right? Because Rabbeinu Hananel said, oh, it's not a din. Rambam said it's din Hana. And here he's saying it's not a din hana. Tells us that it's a straight up regular kinyan kabbalas kesef. And here he's saying it's not a regular kabbalas kesef, right? Because like, oh, anu yecholim lilmoy, that like it should work. It still works. So one option is like Rabbeinu Hananel, and just because he's the only option left, and he say mimashim atzin b'Torah, then arev is mishtabed lemilve, right? Because it's as if he was Mikabel, even though he's not the one actually getting the money or the hana. that it's nechshav a kabbalah. The difficulty with that is it's like too good, right? Or even that makes too much sense for Rashi to be scratching his other ear like this, right? The anu yecholim lomod doesn't fit so much with that ledati, because let's go back to Rinchan for a second. Yeah. Kiva di'ika, or really should be di'i kehai gavna ha'arev chayv l'shalim keman de'kabil hu bi'adiv dami ha'chanami amrina di'bura tein l'ploni kabbalah. Right, for the Rebbeinu Chanan, it's almost like a kal v'chomer. If it counts as a kabbalah bi'adayim to be mechayv mamon by an arev, it's almost like kal v'chomer, right, the di'bur of tein l'man of l'ploni should count as a kabbalah. If we're trying to get a kabbalah, right, and we're able to use it to mechayiv mamon, as if he actually got the halva, kal vachomer, then it should work as a kabbalah, right? Or at the very least, it should be equal. With Rashi sounds, it almost sounds like, it doesn't sound like it's such a ironclad limud, right? Or it doesn't sound like it's so, it's like on the same level, right? Yeah, Tehillah.
This isn't such a technical suggestion, but I'm just wondering, like, the Arev Mishta Bed Lamalva, like, you think about what's going on and what forms that take, but I think also, like, it just sounds like there's some forming of a relationship, whether it's one of Shibud or not. And I thought, like, originally that might be what Rashi's picking up on.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, I think that's really going to be the direction you're going to go in, because... Right, this idea of like, oh, he's like mishtabed, right? The emphasis on the mishtabed is like, oh, from what we see in the Torah, right, that there's a sort of this like relationship being created between the Arev and the Malveh, even though, right, they didn't actually transfer money. Anu yecholim lomod, that like they can create a relationship, right? We can use this as a springboard to say that there's like a kirv hadas, there's like a beginning of a relationship, even though there's no direct Nesinas Kiddushin. I think so. I think that's really the best way to explain Rashi. And I think it's very good. I think it's very, you know, very interesting, because the more that we're willing to accept the idea that not all the Rishonim put the emphasis on the Kinyan, right? Whether it's because of Kinyan or because it's Maisa Kiddushin, but because either way, it's once we take the Kinyan Mamon and downplay it, and we might see it more as like a formal part of the process, but maybe it's not really so much, right, how it works. So what we could say, and I think this makes a lot of sense, we saw this a lot by Chalipin, is if it's really about trying to create a relationship, right, it's supposed to trigger Mechubed Eslo, right, right, that line in the Rajba, Mechubed Eslo, Chashuvalo, so then, right, maybe the Masher Matzinu Batorah Sha'ariv Mishtabed Lemalveh, we see that it creates this sense of obligation. So maybe that same sense of that same obligation, right, and the creation of a relationship of obligation is enough to create Kiddushin. Right? It's not the formal Nesina Hana. It's not the formal Maisa Nesina even. And it might not even be the fact that you gave over Hana and created Kirav Hadas through giving Hana. So the Rambam thinks you need to get Hana. It's all about giving Hana. Right, and she gets Hana from him, and that creates a Kirav Hadas. I mean, for Rashi, it's more about the Mishtabed. It's more about the feel, the creation of a relationship. Right? And that relationship isn't just, oh, a Maisa Kinyan. The Maisa Kinyan is a way to create a relationship. And a Mishtabed is all about create a relationship between them. That's what I think. I think that's really the best approach. Rashi, yeah, Yishkoach Tehillah. I think that's very good. And I think that this emphasis, like, we see that the Ariv is Mishtabed on Yecholim Lomod, right? From this, like, idea of Shibud, so we can also, like, you know, derive Ishas. Yeah.
I'm just wondering the connection between Shibud and Kiruv Hadat, because I felt like that is much more along the Shita of the Rambam, and we haven't really seen that so far outside of the idea of Hana. So do you think exactly. that So do you think that it necessarily has to do with Kiruvadar, or do you think Shibud can be some sort of, some other sort of connection?
So I would think that it's similar to the Kiruv Hadas. I would say it's somewhat different. Just because, you know, this is, it's not the Rambam, and he doesn't think you need Hana in order to create it. And the Rambam very much thinks you do need Hana in order to create it. So it definitely gives us the sort of opportunity to take a step back and say, well, you know, maybe not. Yeah. Not that they're not the same thing. I would still assume that they're similar, which is why I'm being a little waffly about it. But yes, I would assume that they're different. And that Mishtabed, I don't know exactly how I would formulate that difference, though. Right? I would say maybe... I'm not sure what I would like try to put my finger on as being like the difference between like Mishtabed versus like Kiruv Hadas. Kiruv Hadas is more that like they've done something together, right? You know, like I don't know, you go to like a movie together, or you know, you hang out together for a while. Like that's like more like Shibud Hadas, you know, going on like a good date. Yeah, right. Very good. Tila in the chat said, right, connection versus closeness. And Mishtabed is more about, might be more about connection than closeness. It doesn't necessarily require it to be like a close connection, a feeling of personal intimacy. It could be much more that you have some sort of relationship, right? You have some sort of connection, whether it doesn't have to necessarily be close. For the Rambam, it needs to be close, right? It needs to involve Hana that came from him to her, and she enjoyed it, right? While here for Rashi, for this, you know, for this idea of Mishtabed, it's a little bit more, Alex's suggestion also good, right? Like obligation, perhaps, I don't know about obligation, because obligation sounds more like you're chayv to someone something, you owe them. I would say it's a little bit less like you owe them, but you know, relationship is complicated because, right, relationship is a very open-ended word. But you have some sort of, I don't know, is it like a good word that's like relationship, but doesn't involve, you know, and in contrast to the idea of like the Rambam, that the Kiruv Hadas creates a relationship between them, but like a personal relationship, a more like, I don't know, less emotional relationship and more of like a, it's hard to get a good word. Anyway, Namakaba, Alex's new suggestion, another suggestion, right? Servitude. Oh, Shibud is bad translation. You're using Google. Never Google Translate lambdas. It's always a bad idea. Although, you know, sometimes I give you random ideas that do help. Yeah, Rachel.
Oh, I was just wondering. So Rashi doesn't see the scenario that the Gemara gives of like Tain Laploni. That's not an actual case of Ori. It's just we learn laws from Ori.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not actually a real Ori because she's not actually chayv anything, but it's parallel to.
And her right. I wasn't so clear in what he was saying. If was he saying when she says when she uses her words to be Makabel, that sounded like he was thinking it actually was an Orev situation, but I just wasn't sure.
Wait, were you talking about Rashi or Rabbeinu Hananel?
No.
Oh, okay, yeah. So back in Rabbeinu Hananel, was saying that her sort of telling him what she wants him to do with it and him doing it is like her accepting it. She's not accepting with her hand, right? You know, but I don't know. It's almost like if I offer you, I want to give you a gift. Right, and then say, "Oh, you know, please put the flowers over there on the table." Right, so I don't know. Let's say someone's having a simcha. You go to the hall and you bring them like a beautiful display of flowers. Like, "Oh, that's so beautiful! Thank you so much. Can you put it on the table there?" Right. In order to have accepted it as accepted the gift, they don't necessarily have had to been kone. Right, it might be good. They accepted your gift. Now you never actually kone. And at the end of the affair, I don't know, the hall's going to take it and, I don't know, throw it out or whatever. But they accepted your gift. Okay? Now, Rashi is saying a little different. It's similar to that also. But Rashi's idea is, you know, it creates a sense of obligation. I do think that sense of obligation is good, because if you, in Pride and Prejudice, when Elizabeth is refusing Darcy's proposal, she says, oh, like the standard mode in such situations is to express a sense of obligation, you know, but in this case, I cannot, you know, because you're such a puffed up, arrogant windbag, v'chule, right? But the idea is that, right, that his proposal, right, you know, or any sort of social recognition or significant recognition of your personage as being important and valued creates a sense of obligation, right? So, you know, in that time period, it actually is like, it's the basis of marriage is that sense of obligation. So in a certain sense, maybe Rashi thinks exactly that, right? That sense of obligation is exactly what's going to create the, or help us create the Kishas. Now, I don't want to use the word obligation just because obligation is even less helpful to us than relationship in defining what we're talking about. But I think that sort of social, interpersonal, like social, societal connection is like the Mishtabed more than Kirav Hadas and Hana, which is much more personal and emotional, I think. Right? Like Kirav Hadas and Hana is like creating a personal connection, while Mishtabed is much more about like creating like a social obligation. Right? You feel a sense of obligation. It's like a social thing. You feel a social, on a social level, on a societal level, connection to it. I think that's like the best I can give it, trying to give it a better definition. Yeah, Alex.
I just think there's something that's a bit more distant about it, especially looking at Rashi, Afal Gav Dilomati and Aliyada. There's like beyond the fact that we're creating a social connection, there's something that it's external to the act, it's external to the Natina, it's external to what's going on. It's sort of like just, you know, parallel to an actual Arev. She's just saying, you give that to him, and that'll be the formal.
But he's doing
act.
It for her.
She's like, she's coming forward and saying, you know, that's good enough for me. This is what I'm entering into for myself. It's not even really that dependent on this social connection that arises directly. Maybe I'm
wrong. But she has a sense of obligation to him because, right, he's done what she asked. Right, she asked him to do this favor for her, and he did it. When you do a favor for someone, right, they feel a sense of obligation to you. I agree 100% that it's you know, much less personal than the cure of Hadas idea of like Hana that we're getting from the Rambam, because there it's about she actually has to get Hana, right? She needs to feel it, you know, needs to have tasted good, right? They have to have like had ice cream together or something. Right here, he has to have done her a favor, which is a lot, you know, is a far cry from having an amazing first date. But, you know, it's still, that's still more, I think, you know, there is that, there, it's not just like, oh, you know, he did whatever she said. So, you know, like there's this like technical connection of like midinat. So I think it's less personal than Hana, but there is a real a connection there. But it's more, you know, connection versus relationship. Although again, relationship we kind of use in both cases. Okay, so let's try to hop in a few more shittos. Yeah, we have still a few more minutes. Okay, so Rabbeinu Hanan ben Shmuel, the in-law of the Rambam, or Avraham ben Rambam's father-in-law, so he says, "Hol v'shama v'amrusha arev afu b'shalo lakach min hamalvek klum v'lo higia hana liyado." So he didn't get anything, and there's no hana. Chayv l'shalim l'malve. Hol v'shama mimenu, since he listened to him, v'kibel arvuso. He fulfilled her, you know, her wishes. Right? I don't know, you know, can I make a bad joke? I'm gonna make a bad joke. Apologize to everybody in advance. Right? It's asa ritzona, it's like the perfect, you know, beginning of marriage. Because in marriage, what's you know, how's marriage supposed to look? Wife tells the husband to do stuff, right? And he does it. That's his job in marriage. So this is actually like a perfect start, you know. He shows that, like, she tells him to do random stuff, and he just does it, right, without question or compromise. Okay, the end of bad joke, sorry. Kisha asa ritzona, right, sounds like the asa ritzona, the fulfilling her will, is the, you know, like, it. You don't need Kabbalah, you don't need, like, actual kinyan, right? I think it's hard to interpret this as anything other than some sort of either what we were saying before Rashi, this idea of, right, like she's mishtabedlo. The thing is that he doesn't even emphasize that, oh, like, and then she's feels mishtabedeslo, right? That she feels a sense of obligation. There is a sense of obligation. And just like, yo, he's asa ritzona. Maybe that's noted more towards Rabbeinu Hananel, right? He was saying, like, oh, her dibor is Kabbalah. She was Makabalah. Right? He says, oh, I'm accepting it by having you do this with it. Here, she's like, the Isha says, because he's Osa Ritzona. It almost sounds like, you know, because, I don't know, they had this interaction. It's like the interaction itself is the Kiddushin almost. I'm not totally sure. I think if we say that by an Arev, that the Arev is like part of the interaction, then we say here too, right? She's part of this interaction, and therefore they had some sort of interaction which is creating Yishus. It's very unclear what he really means. My netia is to put him in the camp of, let's say, other Rabbeinu Hananel, big Rabbeinu Hananel. But I'm not sure. Maybe he's saying something more along the lines of Rashi, that by fulfilling her ratzon, right, that creates this like sense of obligation, and that's good enough without any formal kinyan. But I'm not sure. Okay, so nafkaminas. So one was, is the Kiddushin actually based on Din Arev? Right? Is there an actual Arev situation going on? Or is it really just totally external and we just happen to be using Arev as a paradigm? Okay? Either we're actually using the Hana that's external to Arev, or we're using the Hana that's actually that's totally independent. Right, that's what the Rambam said. Or we're saying, no, either there's a real nesina midin Arev, or there's a real financial interaction based on Arev. Right? Even though he never actually physically gave it to her, financially she received funds, right? The funds were wired through her account, kiviyachol. So she actually did interact with the money. So she might not have gotten the object in terms of nesina, according to this option, but she got it in terms of kinyan kesef. Or, right, it's part of, like, you know, the sort of in-between insurance policy idea that there is Hana, but it's somewhat based on Arev. So the Ritva gives actually a very interesting nafkamina. Mikol makom, im amra harviach zman halva leploni, ve'akadesh anilach, kazav gedolei hador, she'ino mekudeshes, she'rei kiyotiva ba'arev potter, hoyo v'lo ala munaso hilvahu. Okay? By an Arev, in Arev, if you do this, you're pater. Okay? In Arev is only chayiv if the actual halva was done on the basis of his commitment. If afterwards the Arev says, oh, give him more time and I guarantee he'll pay it, he's not chayiv. Okay? Now, here's the thing. According to the Rambam, it should totally work. Why? As long as it's worth a shava pruta of hana. Because according to Rambam, it has nothing to do with din arev. Harvacha zman is hana, right? Right. We know that from the sugya of vavu mebet, of harvacha zman halva. Right? So who cares that a real arev would be pater? This has nothing to do with real arev. It has to do with whether or not there's hana. Right? Rambam says the whole thing's about hana. However, if you think that we're really using the din arev, like, let's say Tosel says, it's as if the money actually went through the Arev. So here, the money already transferred So of course you can't be mechayev midin arev as a real arev, and you also can't be mekadesh this way, right? Because no money is actually transferring through the arev to the alova. The alova already has the loan. You're just being marviach zman. You can't be mekadesh with marviach zman unless you say b'ha'hu hanash ani marviach zman v'chulei, right? And you formulate it as being about the hana, not about the harvach zman. You're not being mekadesh midin arev. You could theoretically be mekadesh midin ha'hu hana, but that's not what you're doing, says Tosfos, right? Same as the Ritva. I think. For the Ritva is going to say what? The arev is mishtabed with ha'hu hana, right? The hil val yada. So actually, truth, I don't know what the Ritva would say about this case. Maybe the Ritva thinks that arev in this case would also be mischayiv. It seems like in general, we don't think that, right? Because in Bava Basra, we said explicitly that arev is pater in this case. So this can't, be b'chayim on that, right? So if you think it's part of the halva, part of the din arev, and it's actually working within arev, so if it wouldn't be b'chayim and arev, it wouldn't work here. Okay? Now, part of that is actually a little bit more tricky because let's say you think it is working within arev, like Rabbeinu Hananel, and like potentially Rashi, right? The idea of mishtabed. But on the other hand, okay, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, it's not going to work, because Rabbeinu Hananel says it's a type of Kabbalah, right? There's a Nesina and a Kabbalah, said Rabbeinu Hananel. Here there's no Kabbalah, because he's not actually giving anything, right? He already gave the money to the Lova. He's just being marviach zman. So according to Rabbeinu Hananel, it won't work. According to Rashi, right, would it create a feeling of shibud? I don't know, maybe, right? He's being marviach zman for you. According to Rabbeinu Hananel ben Shmuel, right, asa ritzona, maybe that should count, right? So I think the more we emphasize that there's an actual financial interaction or there's an actual nesina, the more we'll say that if it doesn't work by arev, it's not going to work here. The more we're using arev as as external hana, so then of course it should be fine as long as there's external hana and it really doesn't have anything to do with arev. But if you're in the middle where you think it is really based on arev, but it's not just because arev is actually getting it, but because there's something going on in the interaction between the people in arev, right? The malv and the arev are having some sort of personal interaction which is meaningful, and that's either what creates the chiyuv of the arev. And that maybe can also create kiddushin. So maybe here, even though in terms of arev, it wouldn't be mechayev and arev, right? If he's doing harvachas zman, and he's promising to be an arev for the harvachas zman, maybe according to Rabbeinu Hananel ben Shmuel, maybe according to Rashi, he's osir ritzona, right? He's mishtabed la, right? Arev mishtabed la milve. Maybe in a chanami we could apply the same idea here because it's really acting as a paradigm for the interaction of the people, and we're not really using the financial din of arev, right? According to Rabbeinu Hananel, according to Tosfos, we're actually using the din of arev to say that this stuff was given to her, and she accepted it. So if there's no nesina, because we're just being marviach zman of a halva, so there's no nesina, and there's no financial nesina, according to Tosfos, and there's no maisa nesina, according to Rabbeinu Hananel. According to Rashi, according to Rabbeinu Hananel ben Shmuel, if we're talking about kisha asa ritzona, if we're talking about mishtabed lemalve, then maybe even if there's no physical nesina, it might be enough to create that feeling of shibud, right? That feeling of obligation, or that idea that he's osa ritzona. Okay, so it's a fascinating enough. I mean, a pashtus is if you think it's midin arev, then if an arev wouldn't be chayiv, then it's not kiddushin. And if you think it's not really based on arev, it's really just a paradigm of hana, then it's lo kashur. But potentially, you can actually say that it is dependent, right? And say, and not, sorry, it is midin arev, but it's not dependent, right? That even though an arev would be putter, it shows a paradigm of personal interaction, which might be sufficient to get us somewhere in Kiddushin. But I don't know. Okay. But definitely that's one nafkamina. Okay, so Tosfos would say Arev Baharvach Hazman definitely doesn't work. And the Rambam would say, of course it should work, as long as he say Bahu Hu Hana. Fine. Nusach HaAmira, this one's an easy one. What do you have to say? You come to this woman, what are you saying? Right? So the Ritva says, you have to say, I am b'mekadesh you with the bahahu hana that I did what you said, and you got a geshmak out of that. According to the Rosh, you just say, I am b'mekadesh with the mana, with the money that I gave to Bob. Right? They're talking about two totally different things. The Ritva says you have to say, I am b'mekadesh you with the hana, and the Rosh says you say, I'm b'mekadesh you with the money. According to the Ritva, if you say I'm Mikadish with the money, you're not married. Because you didn't give her the money, you gave the money to Bob. According to the Rush, right, he's one of the Balei Tosfos, he probably thinks, like Tosfos, that what? The money just goes through the Arev. So it's as if he gave it to her. So he could say, I'm being Mikadish with the money that I gave through you to Bob. Okay? It's actually perfect. Right? Are you saying I'm being Mikadish with the Hanam? Are you saying I'm Mikadish with the money? Okay, one second. Okay, I think I'm just going to save the rest for Wednesday because I don't want to go too far over time.